It's time now for The Best of Ourselves with Marcia Hayek. Good morning, Marcia.
Good morning, CJ.
Oh, let me get you potted up there. Okay, let's try that again.
Good morning, CJ.
Good morning, Marcia.
So behavior change is often on people's mind the first of the year.
Oh, yeah.
But it's always on my mind. You know, what are those little ways? And there's been something I've been reading lately about how important our environment or context is in changing behavior. And now this is not for like the personality overhaul kind of thing, but this is for the...
A tune-up.
if I could just stop snacking so much, or if
yes.
I could just remember to take my vitamins, or if I could just whatever. So let me start with some research that happened in the 70s that was just phenomenal. They found that Vietnam vets in the early 70s, about 20% were using heroin. And they're really concerned about bringing these vets back to the States. So they set up a special task force and all kinds of things in a study. And they got this renowned psychiatrist, Dr. Lee Robbins, to see what they could do. So they got the soldiers clean in Vietnam, detoxed, whatever. And then they brought them back to the States and tracked them. And they found they only had 5% go back to using heroin. And the recidivism, can you say that twice?
No.
In heroin is really high.
Yeah.
So to have 95% of the folks come back home and not use again. Honestly, people thought she was lying. She had to defend that research for many, many years. But now, 40 years later, the results are pretty widely accepted that the physical environment does shape our behavior.
So context.
Context. Right. So Dr. Neil, who's a psychologist, looks at behavior change. He said, well, we use our environment as a cue. Like if you've ever been a smoker and stops smoking, but then go to the bar where you used to smoke, it's a huge cue. Or if you're a smoker walking into work and outside is where you went to smoke, it's a cue to smoke. It's amazing how, because so much of our behavior is habitual. You think about like starting the car, we don't think about it. We go in, we turn the key, you know, we do everything to get it to run. But when you're a new driver or first introduced to a car, that is such a complex task.
Yeah.
So we have this capacity to make things habitual. And when we get into places, it could be a trigger for habitual.
Kind of mindless.
Yeah. So in Harvard Business Review, there was an article in 2009 about the same thing, saying that how much of our behavior is habitual, which I've read anywhere from 95 to 45%, but a lot, because we just, how did I get into the shower and out again? I don't even, you know, I don't remember. We just do it. So he said, this is Peter Bregman wrote this in a book called Mindless Eating. He said, look at how much we do to eat. And a lot of the eating has nothing to do with hunger.
Right.
So if you change, for example, if you use a big spoon, you eat more. If you serve yourself in a big plate, you eat more. This is what research is saying. If you move to a small, you've moved that small ball, bowl of chocolate 6 feet away from your desk, you eat less. It's amazing how triggers we are, and we do this stuff again reflexively or not necessarily consciously. So Dr. Neil, the behavior change specialist, said there's a little teeny space where you can make a conscious choice. So if you're a late night snacker, if you just, the moment that you sort of catch yourself, do everything with your non-dominant hand, and it'll keep you more conscious. Or if you want to change a behavior, then think about changing how things are. Like I have forgotten for years to be a regular vitamin taker. Now it's with my tea. And so I don't forget to drink my tea in the morning. So I now have a physical way to support that happening.
Right.
If you tend to lose a lot of time on your computer when you should be working or doing something else like Facebook or something as a game, as you know, you can do little triggers, just like stand up while you're doing it, little things to support yourself, because it's usually like a nanosecond of consciousness before you enter into this habitual behavior. But it's amazing, like there was a principal in Boston who wanted to teach the students to interact with each other more, not just the teacher. And he thought, you know, the memos I'm sending out are not working. So this principal went in and changed all the classrooms to be semicircles.
Ah.
And all of a sudden, they're interacting. So what are the things that we're trying to make happen that we just wish our willpower would make happen? That if we could just connect it to an existing habit or change the physical structure, we can maybe contextualize and support ourselves for a different way of behaving. Again, behavior is complex. Lots of things are driven by emotions and past stories we're telling ourselves, but for those smaller tweaks, so like you said, the tune-ups.
Right, the tune-ups.
We could just pay attention to what's in my environment and how can I support myself being a little bit more intentional.
Very cool.
Thanks, CJ.
All right. Thank you, Marcia.